Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back to episode 210 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I'm Sean Penrod. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are new to the show, welcome. Here on the show, we bring you the best and brightest Magic the Gathering minds twice a week to share tips and tricks to help you take your game to the next level. My goal is to help 1,000 players qualify for the Pro Tour. And the way that I do that is by hosting this podcast, which interviews the top 8 of Grand Prix and the top 16 of the Pro Tour, as well as World Cup competitors and other community icons, to really figure out what they're doing that we're not. To bridge that gap between us and them and figure out what it takes to get us to the top 8 of a Grand Prix and therefore qualified for the Pro Tour. Speaking of Grand Prix and Pro Tour qualifications, last week there were 3 Grand Prix in Vegas. How cool is that? I am so excited and give a huge congratulations to the top 8 of each of those events. And I definitely look forward to inviting them onto the show to share their experience and what it was like to top 8 at the first mini Magic convention. I wonder at what point we start calling it a Magic convention. So I definitely hope that there are more of those that come because I would love to attend. And oh my, before we get too deep into this, I want to say thank you to the patrons. Thank you so much for your support, for keeping the lights on, the wheels greased. Because of you, this show goes on. And if you are interested in becoming a patron, you can go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can pledge any amount you want per episode. And then set a monthly limit so you never go out of budget. And as a thank you each and every month, I do a patron-exclusive giveaway. Also, a huge thank you to Paragon City Games, who supports the show. Check out what they have going on at ParagonCityGames.com. They are a fantastic pillar of community building and just make every player feel like the hero they are. Due to the multiple Grand Prix last weekend, I'm all hyped up on deck building and metagames and what goes on. If you are interested in taking your deck building to the next level, go to deckbuildingmasterclass.com, where I put together a free PDF download compiling the best tips and tricks that 3 Pro Tour regulars use when they evaluate the metagame and how they build tournament-winning decks. So deckbuildingmasterclass.com is where you can check that out. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you are safe and sound. I'm actually here in Texas, away from my family for this week, as I go through some training and certifications for my business. But the show will go on, and I'm super excited to bring you another great episode. So without further ado, let's bring in our guest, sit down, and talk about Magic. What is up, everybody? I am super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest is a veteran player who has played in several Pro Tours and Worlds. He runs a website at magiclayer.com.ar that provides free articles in Spanish. The site covers all the formats and focuses on growing the Latin American Magic community. He has 1 Grand Prix Top 8 and 1 Super Sunday Series Final Top 8. Coming to us from Buenos Aires, Argentina, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Javier Luna. Javier, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. And how are you?
Doing fantastic. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Sure.
Excellent. Now, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Javier, you can do so on Twitter. He's at Magic Layer right there. And he is, yeah, really active on his website, obviously, putting out great content. So look for him there. So Javier, we would love to learn a little bit about you outside of Magic before we do the Magic stuff. So you're down there in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Is Magic all you do? Do you have a job? Are you going to school? Tell us about your life.
I have a day job that is, I'm a lawyer at the Congress in Buenos Aires.
What do you do there? That sounds interesting.
Now, I'm mostly, how do you say that? I used to be a researcher. Now I help the deputies and the congressmen to make the law project.
Right.
So we help the congressmen.
So that's really neat. So you're a lawyer out there in the Congress of Buenos Aires. That's really neat. And then growing up, did you have siblings that you played games with, or are you an only child?
No, I have a sister who is older, but I have 2 cousins that taught me to play Magic. I used to play a different trade TCG, which was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I used to love it. And then they taught me how to play Magic. And I couldn't stop playing it.
Nice. So tell us a little bit more about that story. So it was your 2 cousins that got you in. Like, how old were you? Where were you? Take us back to the day, the very first time you saw or played with Magic cards.
Okay, I was like, no, I knew the Magic cards, but I wasn't into it. I was in Lord of the Rings because I'm a fan of Lord of the Rings. But I was like 16, 17 years old. and my cousins told me that they had a sweet game. They were more into PlayStation and things like that. And they told me, okay, let's see this game. They showed me the cards. I was like, whoa, what's that? They told me that they have a huge tournament near our house because it was like a boom in that time in Argentina. We went to the tournament. I have a horrible deck. It was like black-white with all the circle of protections.
Oh.
And they had like, I don't know, burn decks with Cursed Scroll, Shackle Pup. They were really good. Obviously, I lost, but I was hooked up and I started to buy cards to trade. Then we started to go to bigger tournaments and I started to travel in Europe. So I was able to buy a lot of cards, but I was more into Legacy. So I wasn't playing competitive in Standard or the old Extended. But then I started to buy those cards and started to play a lot of competitive play.
Nice. That is really neat. So what was your first set that you came in on?
I believe it was Mirage. I played a lot until Onslaught. And in Argentina, in 2001, we have a crisis, so we stopped playing in that time because it was really expensive to play Magic. I mean, they just came out Onslaught with the Fetchlands, and what one Fetchland, it was like, I don't know, a quarter of the salary of a month. So
oh my gosh.
And then when the crisis stopped, it was like in Mirrodin, I came back and I started playing a lot.
So what's been your favorite set?
Maybe like an history set. I love Legends, but I started playing a lot more in Urza Saga, so it was Urza Saga.
Awesome. Urza's Saga. And along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
My favorite card is Mana Drain.
Ah, Mana Drain. So for those of us who don't know, what is it? What does it do? And why do you like it?
It's Counterspell, but you get the mana of the spell you counter in your next main phase.
Awesome. So it's blue-blue?
Yeah, it's blue-blue. Mm-hmm. So it's really sick. And when I started playing, we play like Legacy and sometimes a powerless Vintage. So it was like the biggest card I have and I used to do really sick things with that.
Nice. Absolutely love it. So when you started getting serious about Magic and you were able to become a little bit more competitive, what was an aspect that you really struggled with? What was something that you were terrible at, but that you eventually got better at?
I think I'm terrible at drafting. I mean, I compare myself with my friends and the big players, and I think that my draft skills are somehow like loose, but I keep trying to improve myself with that, mainly in Magic Online. But I think I'm very good at adapting different decks. I mean, I can play a burn deck, a combo deck, a mid-range deck without problems.
That's good. And so you said that to overcome this, you are basically just focusing on it by drafting online?
Yes, because, I mean, when we didn't have Magic Online, we played a lot in the stores. Me and seven friends, when they are, made a draft and tried to understand what we were doing wrong. But in Magic Online, I can log in at any time and take the screen, send it to the members of my team and understand what I'm doing wrong in the moment.
Nice. That's really good. Screenshots and then talking about it with team members, during or after. That's a really good way to go about it.
We obviously have a WhatsApp group and we always are always changing information about the draft, about the decks. So it's really useful.
It's a really good tool, because you can't always take, a screenshot of a real life draft, right? Unless you're like, all right, hold on everybody, let me take a quick picture. But like online you can just, two buttons, hit the screenshot and then save it. So that's a really good idea. That's awesome. So as so we mentioned in your bio that you had the one Grand Prix top eight. That's awesome. Leading up to that, so kind of as you've improved as a player, were there any other like key events that you did well at as you kind of were on your way up?
I won a few of the old PTQs that that led directly to my qualification to the Pro Tour. Also, a few years ago, I was really into Magic. I tested a lot. I went to every tournament I could, and I had very good results that led to qualifying to the World Championships and Pro Tours by writing. And I used to travel to everything I can. Then I settled down a little and I started to play a lot less, but always reading everything I could. So I was able to be on the news and on the format that I wanted to play. But I have a lot of good results. Maybe I made a 9-0 in other Grand Prix. I was able to qualify to the Super Sunday Series in Limited, which was a nice thing for me. But yes, I have good results.
And so that's neat. That's neat that you were consistent. And like you said, even during a period of time where you played a little bit less, you're still reading articles, you're still in the space and kind of, you know, keeping up with what's going on. So it's really good that you kept your finger on the pulse of Magic. And then we were able to see you, you know, come up and do great and get your first Grand Prix top eight. And so let's talk about that. So what format was your Grand Prix?
The format was the standard. It's the actual standard that I really don't like, because first it was Jeskai Saheeli, and now we have Aetherworks Marvel dominating everything, except that this last weekend I was proved wrong, because Black Green won and it was really different, the metagame. But I really don't like the format right now. Maybe with the new expansion set, things are going to shake a bit.
So for your Grand Prix, tell us, what did it look like preparing for it? So how far out did you choose your deck? What deck did you choose? Why did you choose that deck? So walk us through the preparation.
Well, it was a bit unexpected, because a few weeks ago I was with a lot of work in my day job work. So I wasn't putting a lot of testing, but I was reading the metagame and I thought that blue-red was the best deck. So I started to test a lot in Magic Online. I was having great results against Marvel, but 1 week before the GP, the things started to go bad. I couldn't win Marvel. Marvel was using a lot of cyber like Pristine Hydra and a lot of Dispel Negate. So I was losing a lot. I was a bit disappointed. So I talked to Sebastian Pozzo, who is a gold pro in Argentina. He's one of the best players. He and Luis Salvato are the best players for me in Argentina right now. And we talk a lot about the deck he played in the Pro Tour, that was Mardu. And I used to play a lot of Mardu before the blue-red. I decided that it was the best option, and I tweaked the list of Sebastian a bit in Magic Online, and I started to play that week, and it was really good for me. Even I played against a lot of Marvel, I was having good results, so I was, okay, let's play Mardu and hope for the best.
Wow, awesome. So 1 week before. So granted, you did have some experience playing the deck beforehand, you said, but a week before the event, you switched, you know, what you were playing to Mardu and just practiced a lot.
Yes. I mean, I had a lot of practice with Mardu before, but okay, that week I had to adapt to the new metagame with Mardu. So I made a little twist to Sebastian Pozzo's decklist and started to play all that week in Magic Online.
Excellent. Oh, man. And it did you well, because you top eight of the tournament.
Yes. I mean, it was a bit strange, the tournament, because the first day we played 9 rounds. I had a bye. And in that tournament, in that day in particular, I played 9 rounds with 1 bye, and I played against 6 Marvel, 1 Mirror Match, and 1 Blue-Red.
Oh, wow. 6 Marvel?
Yeah, 6 Marvel, and I won all the matches, and it was a bit strange because I thought that it was a bit difficult, the matchup, but I was lucky.
I don't know, man, like, 6 wins against a difficult matchup. I don't think that's luck. I think you must be a pretty decent pilot.
No, I believe I was a decent pilot, but it was a bit lucky.
Yeah.
And in the second day, I started the day against 2 more Marvel decks. I want to them, then I played against the blue-red that I think it's my best matchup, but I lost with a series of strange plays from my part, or maybe misplays, because I was told by some friends that I could have played differently. And then I played another blue-red, which I won, and I was able to draw into the top 8.
Okay. Man, but still, so 8 Marvel matchups and you won them all. That's pretty good.
Yes.
So then you drew into the top 8. What happened in top 8? Who did you play and how did it pan out? Like, tell us about that experience.
I played against a Brazilian guy who was playing zombies. The first game was reduced to the last turn when I was attacking with a Heart of Kiran. And he was in 5 life. I was crewing with, I don't remember the name, the 3-1 that gives +1/+1. When you crew a vehicle.
The veteran motorist?
The veteran motorist. He was in 5. He had only one card that I thought it was a fatal push, but it was an I to stop that. But it was in fact a grasp of darkness. So I attacked, he played the grasp, and in the counterattack he won.
Oh,
and in the
man.
Second, yeah, it was terrible for me. And in the second game,
hold on, your connection is going a little crazy there. So you said so he had one card in hand. You thought it was a fatal push, but it said it was a grasp of darkness. And so he played the grasp and killed your attacker, and then he got you on the crackback.
Yes.
Okay. And then what happened the next time?
The second game, it was a very long and gritty game because I changed all my configuration to a Mardu control game with Chandra, Skype Sovereign, Fumigate, Radiant Flames. And in one point, he was at 7 life. I have a Skyship Sovereign and only a Manland, so I couldn't crew. But I top deck a Hideon. And instead of making an emblem and crewing and attacking for 7, I made a token, crew, kill a creature, and attack for 6, losing my window to win. That was my misplay that my friends told me I was making. So I lost a few turns later when he was able to transform a West Bay Abbey into Ormendal.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, that'll do it.
But it was my fault.
But you still made it into the top 8, and that's awesome. And so you got a Pro Tour invite, you got some sweet pro points. So what did it mean for you? What did it feel like to get your first Grand Prix top 8?
It was great because I was never able to do that, and I always wanted to do that. Maybe it's in line with winning the national championships that I always wanted, but it was great. Mm-hmm. And also I made top 8 with a friend of mine, so we were really happy.
That's great. Now, so you've been to the Pro Tour before. So, you know, for some people, making top 8 of a Grand Prix means I get to go to the Pro Tour, but you've already been there. So did it feel different? Like, was it more exciting? Is the Pro Tour, was it just because you'd never had a Grand Prix top 8 before, so it was cool? Or did the Pro Tour invite also mean something to you?
No, the Pro Tour invite is great. I always wanted to go to the Pro Tour with the top 8 of a GP. Mm-hmm. And I'm really going to try to make my best with this invite because it has been a long since I in the Pro Tour.
Okay, awesome. And which Pro Tour are you going to go to?
It's in Japan.
Nice, the Kyoto one?
Yes, the Kyoto one.
Very nice. Oh, that's going to be exciting. And now, are there other, you mentioned that a friend top 8 as well. So do you have a good, local group that is going to the Pro Tour that you get to test with and play with?
Luckily, yes. We have a few players that are really good. And we are going to try our best to break the format.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome. Now, I love your story. This is so fun to hear how you did in this particular event. And your Magic journey as a whole, I'm sure, has had ups and downs, just like every other player. And we would love to dive into 2 specific stories. The first one being your worst Magic moment. So take us to whatever event that was. Tell us what your worst Magic moment was. And more importantly, what did you learn from that experience?
I really think that my worst Magic moment was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago in also a GP at Santiago de Chile, which I started 9-0. I thought that I was going to make top 8 easily. And in the second day, I made like 0-5-1. It was terrible for me because I was so sure about my chances to make top 8, but I couldn't even win a match that day. And after that day, I was, this is terrible. I can't win a day 2. Day 2 is the worst for me. But I decided to stop complaining about my luck or my lack of skills and try to improve the best I can.
That'd be really hard, you know, to go 9-0 day 1 and then not win a single game on day 2. How did you break through that that mindset, you know, of just being down?
I mean, after that day, I was really down. I was thinking, man, how is it possible not to win a match? How is it possible not to make top 8 after starting 9-0?
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, well, everybody has a good day and a bad day, and I have to stop complaining and keep playing and trying my best.
Man, yeah, it's understanding that, like you said, ups and downs, variance, everyone has good days and bad days, and you know, you can only control what you can control, right? Which is the effort that you put in, the practice, you know, the deck, the sideboard decisions, those things that you can control, and then you know, you show up and you do your best. You know, you shuffle the best you can, and then you know, the cards come how they do. And then, so you have to focus on what you can control. And that's really interesting. So now on the flip side are our highs. So what has been your proudest Magic moment?
Maybe this accomplishment is my proudest Magic moment, but I mean, I have a lot of interest in Magic. So another proudest moment was when my teammates or the brightest of the page made a great tournament, made top 8. I'm really happy when another person gets a good result.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, for example, Luis Albato and Sebastian Pozzo, when they made top 8 of a Pro Tour or win a GP or achieve gold, it was a big moment for us because in Argentina, we don't have a lot of pro players. Both of them are putting a lot of effort on this and they are having the results.
That's
and
awesome.
That really inspires us because we think we can make the same thing.
I love that. I love how you are, you know, outward focused and you really enjoy the accomplishments of others. I think that's a really good, yeah, really good thing and really good for the community. We mentioned at the top of the show that your website is all about, you know, building the Latin American Magic community. And so that's neat that you celebrate the accomplishments of the other players, especially those from Argentina, you know, and you see them carrying the flag. And like you said, it's inspiring and encourages you to go off and do the same. Like, that's really neat.
No, I mean, we are a small community, so I really believe that all the accomplishments we can make are big for us. So we have to encourage all the players in Argentina to play a lot more, to achieve what they want or what they feel. We try to do the best for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. So as you play Magic, obviously you sat across the table or on the other side of the screen, I guess, from, you know, hundreds of different players and just, you know, experienced a lot. So what has been the biggest mistake that you see other players make?
I mean, I really believe that players, I think they always complain about the luck, but you have to understand this is a game that has a lot of strategy, but has a component of luck. So you can't keep complaining about your luck because your opponent obviously is going to be luckier than you, or maybe it's going to be the other way sometimes. So you have to enjoy the game, try to be the best you can at it, and then have a good day of luck, a bad day of luck, and try your best. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of pro players that keep winning, but that's because they keep practicing, they keep improving themselves, but also because they are having a bit of luck. So try to be the best you can and enjoy the game.
So what do you do to avoid blaming luck? How have you gotten, you know, past that?
I mean, when I was younger, I used to blame the luck because of my, I don't know, because of my bad results. But when I was winning games that I was top decking the right card or because my opponent was mulligan to 5 or losing land drops, I started to understand that for all the players it's the same. So you have to stop blaming the luck and doing your best to avoid depending on bad or good luck. Because if you test a lot of time, you are going to improve yourself. So you have to focus on that.
So true. So true. Focus on what you can control, you know, work on yourself, like, you know, put in the time to practice and just understand that, you know, there's good days and bad days. Variance is part of the game. There is a lot of strategy and you can get better at that, but there is that luck as well. So very good. Very, very good. So what have you been working on as a Magic player? What are some of the shortcomings that you're trying to get better at?
First of all, I try to improve my draft skills, mm-hmm. but also I try to stop getting angry because I lost a game. I mean, when I was younger, I really got upset when I lost a game, and more if I felt that it was unfair because, I don't know, I have a really bad memory from a GP in San Pablo. I was playing against a Brazilian guy who I knew, and I was winning the game, and he was playing Red Deck Wins, not the old Red Deck Wins, but the one with Demigod of Revenge.
Okay.
And it was like, he was without cards in hand. I have all the board in control. He drew a card, played a Demigod, attacked me. In my turn, I was able to kill it. He threw a card, drew another Demigod, which bring the other Demigod.
Oh.
I was able next turn to control it. And the next turn, he drew the third Demigod. And I was really upset and angry at the point I smashed the table. And that's a memory I really don't want to have again, because you don't have to get upset because he top decked three Demigods. That's the unfair part of the game. So I try to control my anger temperament to be a better player and a better person.
Yeah, it's, well, thank you for, you know, sharing that moment, because I'm sure there's, you know, many prodigies who have struggled with similar things in the past or struggling with that now, you know, and we wouldn't be so upset if we didn't care, you know, like, we love this game and we're obviously, you know, we put a lot of effort into preparing, like, we put a lot of ourselves into the deck, I really feel, and, you know, it's a representation of us, and then we go and we sit down and we want to, you know, prove ourselves and win. Obviously, we wouldn't go to a tournament if we didn't want to win, and so when stuff like that happens, it's just like, oh, it's so frustrating because we feel like we put all this effort in and we're just getting, you know, thwarted. And like you said, like, when it's unfair, when you don't, I get the most upset when I feel like I didn't even have a chance, you know, and that kind of, you know, bugs me, because if I get to play a good solid game of Magic and I lose, it's okay, because at least we got to play Magic and it was fun. But if it's something that's just totally unfair, then yeah, it's kind of hard. And so I appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, it's something that we all can, you know, work on, is look at how we handle, you know, ups and downs, especially the downs, you know, and take a look and figure out, hey, can we do better at that? Can we control our emotions better and become a better player and be more uplifting for everybody? So that's really interesting. So what has Magic taught you about yourself, Javier? What's the deepest thing you've learned about yourself from playing Magic?
Well, Magic really taught me a lot of things, because even when I was a player, I decided to be a judge for a lot of years. I was a Magic judge and started to uplift the local community. And it taught me about leadership, friendship, companionship. But I really think that most of all taught me about friendship. You made a lot of friends, and you really have to enjoy the friends you meet at this game.
Awesome. Leadership and friendship. I really like how those are two things that you've pulled away from Magic. That's awesome. Being a leader in the community, you know, starting off as in your judge days, that's awesome. And then the friendships. I love that. You know, so many players talk about the friends that they make and how cool it is to go to Grand Prix, because they get to see friends from all over the world that they get to connect with only a few times a year. And it's just a lot of fun to make those friends. That's awesome. I think that's really, really neat. So what is your best format?
I love Legacy. For me, it's the best format.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, Legacy. And so do you play a specific deck or do you play them all? Like, what do you play in Legacy?
I try to play all the decks, but I can't really play a deck without Brainstorm.
So you like Brainstorm. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And how many, are there a lot of Legacy events out there where you live? And do you get to go and play it often? Or
Now we have a tournament each week, and it's really near my house, so I can go whenever I want. But really, in Argentina, we don't have a large community in this moment because the prices are a bit expensive and people enjoy playing more Pauper.
Oh, yeah.
So tournaments are around like 30, 40 people at the most.
Well, I mean, that's still pretty good.
Yes, but maybe we were used to really big tournaments. A few years ago, we used to have one monthly tournament that gathered around 100, 200 people. So we were really used to that. And now we are in the 40 people. It's like, wow, what's happening?
Got it. I wonder where all those legacy players went, you know?
Yes.
Interesting. So do you have any, let's talk about some legacy tips, you know? So let's say someone is, you know, new to legacy. Obviously, they know Magic. Otherwise, they wouldn't be playing legacy if they didn't know Magic. You know, they're pretty new to the format. What advice would you give a new legacy player?
Well, first of all, I think that the problem with legacy is that you have to invest a lot of money to have a really good deck, but you have to think that that investment is going to last you almost forever. And most of all, I think that the legacy community is it's a very kind community. They used to lend you cards, help you to improve. It's really different maybe to the standard or the modern community that they don't use to give you, I don't know, 4 Tarmogoyf. For example, where we used to play, they used to give you, without any problem, I don't know, 4 dual lands and a moat, for example, or a chain of Mephistopheles without problem. So you should always go to your tournament with an open mind and try to befriend with the people that is going to help you.
And what is the best deck in Legacy?
That's a difficult one because, I don't know, a month ago I was going to tell you Miracles without doubt. And now I believe that maybe Shardless is the best deck, but we are seeing a new version of Miracles with Portent and cards like that that try to replace the Sensei's Divining Top. But now it's really open. You can play whatever you want. In fact, the last big tournament that they had last weekend, it was like the finals of all the season, and it was composed by 8 different decks, and it won a blue-black reanimator.
That's neat. That's good that there were 8 different decks, and it was really, you know, open. That's really neat. So for the sake of discussion, though, you mentioned Shardless. What was the name?
It's Shardless Book, blue, green, black.
Okay. So that deck, how does that deck win? What's that strategy and what does it do? And tell us about that deck.
It's a kind of mid-range deck and it's really grindy. You have Shardless Agent, which cascade into spells. You have Ancestral Vision, Abrupt Decay. You can play with Tarmogoyf if you want, or if you don't want, you don't use Tarmogoyf. You have so many variants that it's really difficult to encase in one, but I used to play with Ancestral Vision, Brainstorm, Abrupt Decay, Thoughtseize, Chim Tutorage, Liliana of the Veil, Chase the Mind Sculptor, and you have to grind all the game. And you maybe finish it with the ultimate of Chase or just hitting with Tarmogoyf and Shardless Agent.
So if you are playing against that deck, what was the strategy to beat that deck?
You have a lot of strategies, but I think that, for example, a Sneak and Show has a good matchup against Shardless, because if you put into play a Griselbrand or a Emrakul, you can do anything about that. And lands also is a bad matchup.
So those, Sneak and Show and lands. Excellent. Now, as far as Legacy goes, where do you go to keep tabs on what's going on in Legacy? You say that your community out there is pretty small, 30 to 40 people at a tournament. So do you look to other places in the world to see what's going on in Legacy, or is your meta there pretty well defined? Like, how does your Legacy community interact with the rest of the world's Legacy community?
No, I believe in Argentina, everyone looks at the results in other countries, mm-hmm. but in reality, each player has his pet deck, his mm-hmm. favorite deck, and they can change a lot from one deck to another because it's really expensive. So they usually master the deck they choose and play with it as long as they can. I mean, a lot of people were really angry because Sensei Divinity Top was banned.
Because that was like the crux of their deck?
Yeah, because everyone who has Miracles saw that it was the end for them to play in Legacy. But now they started to adapt, they changed some cards, or they even trade the cards to get a new deck.
Yeah, there you go. You know, adapt and overcome. If it's a format you really want to be involved in, then yeah, do just that. Trade the cards, get a new deck. And yes, I mean, bannings, yeah. I mean, it's always like a two-edged sword, right? There's the format as a whole that might be suffering because this one card needs to go. And then when it does go, you know, people who are invested in that card, you know, they're all mad because they built their deck and all this stuff. And yeah, so it's a tough, you know, it's a tough line that Wizards walks. But I think for the format as a whole, for the health of the game, you know, bannings are a necessary thing to kind of keep things rolling. So, yeah, very interesting. So,
I mean, we as players are always complaining about that the format is broken, but when they ban anything, we complain that they ban anything.
So yeah, exactly.
It's really difficult, but we have to adapt. We have to try to understand that Wizards, I really don't think that Wizards like to ban a card because it talks bad about the testing team, I think, but we have to adapt. We have to play what we can and enjoy the game.
Right. Yeah, I like your point. Magic players will complain about everything. You know, they'll complain. Yes. They'll complain that there is a best deck, and then when something gets banned, then they'll complain that something got banned. Just like you said. So, yeah, it's poor Wizards. They do their best, and then there's us on the other end.
I believe so.
So, do you do anything? Do you do anything on a daily basis, Javier, that you feel kind of contributes to your success as a Magic player, whether it's Magic related or not? Do you have any daily habits that you stick to?
Maybe related to Magic, I think that reading everything I can about the formats or the new decks is the best way to be at the day, because, I mean, you have a lot of really good players that are writing for big pages like Channel Fire or Star City. And, I mean, if they are doing their best to be the best players, I think they are sharing the best information we have. So I really believe that you have to read everything you can. And then trying to play at least, I don't know, one match, two matches a day in Magic Online is the best you can do. If you don't have Magic Online, you can play with a friend. But keeping practice is the key to be the best you can.
Yeah, so even if it's just one or two, you know, matches, like you said, just play a little bit every day. Absolutely, yeah. Love it. So tell us a little bit more about your site. So it's over at magiclayer.com.ar. So how did you start it? Who writes for it? Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, we started the site a few years ago because in Argentina we didn't have a lot of good sites. We started as a selling single site, but also to give something to the community. We approached the best players in Argentina and offered them the possibility to write articles in Spanish. We keep adapting to the times, and we have our editor, our writers, and we are really having a lot of I don't know how to say, maybe people are really receiving with a good feeling the things we are writing.
Good. That's awesome. So you have a good reader base, you have a good, you know, a good following?
Yes, we have a good base follower in Latin America, and we are even having a streamer from Mexico who is doing a lot of work to approach the Mexican community to our site.
Excellent. That's great. So you have streamers and writers and doing all kinds of content. And so you have different writers who do different formats?
Yes, we have a regular basis of Pauper, Modern, Standard. Also, for example, the streamer focus on Limited with Draft or Sealed Deck. Every Monday we have a stream of that.
Awesome. All in Spanish.
All in Spanish, yes.
Love it. That's awesome. That's really cool.
If you want to find a good English note, you can find it in Channel Fireball or Star City. I mean,
right.
You have Star City. You have a lot of sites in English.
Right. And I think it's so amazing that that you're putting together, you know, the nexus of Spanish, you know, magic content. That is so cool. So good luck with that. Keep it up. You know, carry that flag, and I definitely wish you success and want to see you grow that more. That's awesome. So where are you going to be in the future? What events do you have coming out? So we mentioned you have the Pro Tour in Kyoto. Are there any other, you know, Grand Prix or big events that you're going to go to?
Yes, we have the Pro Tour, and then we have in August the Grand Prix in Sao Paulo in Brazil, which is modern, so we are going there. And then we believe we are going to prepare for the national championship, which are returning this year.
Excellent. Absolutely awesome. Well, good luck with that as well. So prodigies out there, I want to remind you, if you want to connect with Javier, you can do so. He is on Twitter. He's at Magic Lair. So just look him up there. And then his website, if you want to look at some Spanish magic content, it is magiclayer.com.ar. So look, look that up if you are into Spanish magic content. So super cool. Now, Javier, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
I mean, it's difficult, but I really believe that we have to enjoy the game we have. It's a great game. I mean, no other game has lasted so long, and we hope that it lasts a lot longer. And enjoy, play with your friends, meet new people. I believe, like you said, that going to GPs and big tournaments, it's all about meeting new people and travel. Travel a lot. If you have the possibility, try to go to every tournament you can. You are going to meet new places. I mean, Magic for me has been great because I have been in places that in other ways I never would have gone. So enjoy the game.
Well, Javier, I want to acknowledge you. And thank you so much for your contributions to the multiverse. Thank you for, you know, being a positive force for good in the community. Thank you for lifting up the Latin American magic community. And thank you for sharing your time and your experiences with us today. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thanks a lot for the interview, and I hope we, in the future, we can do another one if I get a good result.
That'd be awesome. Well, there you have it. Javier, thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing your journey and your tips with us. Episode 210 is in the bag, and if you want the show notes, you can go to mtgpro2.com/Javier Luna. So check them out there. Quick reminder of some of the things we mentioned at the top of the show. If you want to take your deck building to the next level, go to deckbuildingmasterclass.com, where you can get a free PDF download of tournament winning deck building tips. So again, that's a free PDF download at deckbuildingmasterclass.com. A huge thank you to Paragon City Games for your support. Really appreciate it. Look forward to doing many more things with you. Prodigies, I encourage you to go check them out. They are so in line with what MTG Pro Tutor is all about that it's just awesome to be associated with them. So ParagonCityGames.com is where you can see what they have going on. Patrons, thank you for your support. It means the world to me. It's really what keeps the show going. Without you, this would not be possible. So thank you. And if you are interested in becoming a patron, go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can learn more. Well, and that does it for today's episode. I'm so excited to reach out to the top 8 of each of the Grand Prix last week. We will definitely be doing that and having them on the show. So stay tuned for some more great guests coming up. And until the next episode, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.